the second week of Advent, and the subject is peace, and I'm going to ask Daryl and Dolores to come forth and to light the Advent candle.
This is peace. The second candle of the Advent is a candle of peace. It is sometimes called the Bethlehem candle to remind us of the peace in which preparation were made to receive and praise the Christ child. Peace is a gift that we must be prepared for. God gives us the gift of peace when we turn to Him in faith. The prophet Isaiah calls Christ the Prince of Peace through John the Baptist and the other prophets. God asks us to prepare our hearts for that we may come in. Our hope is in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our peace is found in Him. We light this candle today to remind us that He brings peace to all who trust in Him.
Being the anniversary of Pearl Harbor and the Advent candle of peace, because the scripture tells us that Christ will give us peace beyond understanding. And it goes like this. On Christmas Eve, 1914, during the First World War, the guns fell silent along a 30-mile stretch of the Western Front. Soldiers peered cautiously over the tops of trenches while a few emerged to repair their positions and to bury the dead. As darkness fell, some German troops set out lanterns and sang Christmas carols. Men on the British side applauded and shouted greetings. The next day, German, French, and British troops met in a no-man's land to shake hands, share food, and exchange gifts. But that was a brief reprise from what soon ended with military and machine guns roaring to life again. But no one who experienced the Christmas truce, as it became known, would ever forget how it felt and how it fueled their longing for lasting peace. In Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Messiah, we read, His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. By His death on the cross, Jesus, we can find harmony. Through Jesus, we can find harmony and peace with each other. And when Christ gave His life on the cross, as this article refers to the no man's land, that may have been what they called it then, but when Christ gave everything He had on the cross, He removed that no man's land, that space between us, and filled it that we can go to the Father in prayer, and we can go to the Father in everything that we do. He filled the gap. He made it possible for us. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and guess what? There is no barrier between us. He fills us with His holy presence, the Holy Spirit, and we are a new creature in Him, and there is no barren land between us, and we can call upon His name, and He says He will hear us, and He will answer us. It is a privilege to be here, and I am thankful to you folks for giving me the privilege that you come and would listen. It's more of a privilege to serve the Lord, and I greatly appreciate and thank Starkey and Carol that they would entrust me with their pulpit while they're away. It may seem like a big blunder and stumbling and stammering or whatever the case may be. It But what a privilege to deliver the message, the good news, and to share with each and every one of us, especially during this holiday season. The holidays can bring us happiness, can bring us joy, can bring us peace, but it also at times is a time of the year that brings sadness and sorrow and memories that we would never give up, but have them reflected back to us with the loss of a loved one, a friend, a neighbor. And as I was preparing for that, that's where my mind wanted to go. But the message is on peace. And I'll have to share, because we've all been through so much over the years, even in the last few weeks, last few months. But, and I can't share the whole story, okay? It just wouldn't be appropriate. In church, it actually probably wouldn't be appropriate very many places. But it was my grandfather, Berkheimer, and I was just a kid. I mean, a little kid. And my grandmother would always, well, not always, but frequently go to Akron and stay with her sister for a few days. And by golly, I was the oldest grandson. I was the only grandchild, and I was the oldest, so I did have some privilege. There is some advantage to that, I guess. But on this particular occasion, I went with Grandma and Grandpa to Canton. And Grandma got moved in, and you could just get, even as a kid, you could tell Grandpa was now on vacation because Grandma was gone. Okay? That was his piece, all right? They lived many years together and were fantastic. They're both in heaven today, and I'm thankful for that. But we was coming back from Canton, and like I said, I can't share the whole story. And if my grandpa would hear me today say that that's one of the fondest memories I got and one of the ordinariest things I learned, okay, from my grandfather, I'm sure he would be embarrassed. But I don't mean it in that way. But we were coming down the road, and there was a stand or a building. I can't remember exactly how it was. But they always sold apples and, you know, apple cider and all this stuff. A little roadside stand. And that was always a treat that when you come down there, you know, you got to stop and you got cider and whatever. And it was just me and Grandpa. And like I said, I wasn't that old, but old enough to know. And we're coming down, and Grandpa almost passed the place. And he hit the brake, and all of a sudden, the guy behind us is blowing a horn. And remember, you know, he knew Grandpa personally from that car. Okay? And Grandpa gave him this universal sign of peace. Okay? And I, in all honesty, I didn't know what that meant. I just know that that universal sign of peace went up in the mirror, and the guy behind us obviously accepted it. And I said, "Grandpa, what's that mean?" And he said something. It wasn't the exact what it meant, you know, but he came up with something. And he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, and don't you ever tell your mother I did that." "Don't you ever tell your mother." Well, he's been going a number of years, and it hasn't been that long ago that I told her. But that's what Christmas brings. Sometimes it brings back the funny things, the good things. And it does bring you a peace. And it does bring you joy. And I'm sure each and every one of us, as we went around this sanctuary today, would have a memory, a fond memory, a moment, a sad time, a good time. But they're all good, because Jesus said He will comfort us. And He will provide that comfort and everything that goes with it. Peace, love, joy, understanding. But as I was reading earlier, about the Christmas Eve of 1914 and the ceasefire, if you want to call it that, the moment of peace, where guys that were mortal enemies, because man said we are enemies, got out of the foxhole, got out of the trenches, got out of the mess, stopped shooting each other, stopped the hatred for just a few minutes, maybe whatever length of time it was. And they had compassion. They walked out and they shook hands and they may have embraced each other. Okay? And they gave them time to respect the deceased. And they gave them time to have a reflection of maybe a family flashback or just a moment that their minds could rest. And then the sinful world and man's agenda, and they were right back to shooting each other. Right back to the mayhem and the destruction that they endured. And again, I can say thank you that they did that. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance and direction over this country today, our military, and thank you again for all those who are serving and have served. But, you know, as we read this, we think, well, that was spatial, and it was. And that moment of peace, but peace through this is only a flash in the pan. It's temporary. It's not lasting. And as I go down and I read another example, Amani, which means peace in Swahili, is the name of a Labrador Retriever pup that has some special friends. Amani lives with two young cheetahs in the Dallas Zoo. Zoologists placed the animals together so the cheetahs could learn Amani's relaxed ways. Since dogs are generally at ease in public settings, the experts predict that Amani will be the calming influence in the cheetahs' lives as they grow up together. King David was a soothing influence in King Saul's life when a distressing spirit troubled him. When Saul's servants learned of his problem, they thought music might ease its affection. One sermon summoned David, who was a skilled harpist. However, whenever the king became troubled, David would play the harp. Then Saul would become refreshed and well. We crave refreshment and well-being. And that's what God's Spirit can give us. He can give us a calming effect, regardless of what the doctor's report is, regardless of the situation we're in. He will give us the strength, the courage, the love and compassion that we need to get through the situation. The biggest problem that we have as being human is we look at everything before us and around us before we realize where our true source of strength and peace comes from. And that's through Christ Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because it was His plan, and it's His purpose, and it's His desire to love us and to encourage us and to lift us up at every opportunity that He can. And isn't that something to be thankful for today? I mean, as I go on with today's message, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. You know, that sounds pretty easy. Don't worry about anything. If you're following the scriptures and you're believing the Bible and you're believing what Christ says, don't worry about anything. So you know what? I thought as I was doing this, you know, let's really try that. Just for right now, let's try that, okay? And I don't want to seem like it's always my illustrations and everything, because everybody can relate to it, okay? But I'm preparing this, and Liddy come in, and she said, "Oh, Don, I don't know what's going on, but there's water all over the passenger side floorboard of the car." Really? Yeah, it wasn't in there when I went into work, but it was in there when I got home. And she tells me this at midnight. It wouldn't have mattered if it was 8:30 in the morning. I still wouldn't have responded any quicker. Okay, let's be honest with it. But she told me, right? And I'm sitting here reading about peace and being calm and trusting the Lord and everything. And the week before, I went to leave a place. I went to leave out on County Road 6, and as I pulled out on County Road 6, I got thump, 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 thump. I don't have any money. I truly don't. And I had a flat tire. So we backed up and put air in it, and I'm telling you the truth, the air went out quicker than it came in, than it went in. The whole side of the tire had ripped out, a steel belt, and the tires needed to replace 6 months ago, and I got an extra 100,000 mile out of my 30,000 mile tire. So praise God for that. I thank God that it was me. I didn't have our grandson with us, and Liddy wasn't on the road at midnight by herself and have to change a tire. So God did work things out well, okay? But I needed a tire. So we got that. And then I go out and look, and the heater core is going out of my car, okay? And the water's running all over the inside. How in the world can I be peaceful in this situation, okay? I don't have, but it doesn't say that. It says, be anxious, do not be anxious about anything. You know what? He'll take care of it. I may need it tomorrow in my mind, okay? And I may not understand everything, but I'm sure that if I really put my trust in the Lord, I'm not to worry about it. It'll be taken care of. So I think what I'll do is on the way home, I'll trade that puppy in on a brand new one, okay, and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. Where's the payment?" And he's going, "I gave you a spirit of trust, not stupidity, okay? That I will supply your needs according to my riches in heaven through Christ Jesus." But we can't be foolish either. He trusts us with a common sense, okay? So, with that said, we'll go back here. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So what's that telling us? When we get troubled and we get worried and we're stressed out and we're down to our last nerve and somebody's on it pretty heavy, we're supposed to think about things that are true, noble, right. The Bible tells us what to do. Okay? And if we would just do it and make it our nature to do it, and look how much we would avoid. How much we could eliminate. How much more peaceful and joyful and calm we could be in the situation. Okay? But so many times through the world and through the attacks of Satan, in the situations around us, these words in this life, in the Christ in us, in the Christ through us, is second nature, not first nature. But if we give Him first place, it says all this will be provided. And to me, that's amazing. And that, it can be comforting, okay? It says, Whether you have learned or received or heard it from me or seen it in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace of mind is something that we all want. Wouldn't that be awesome? As you walk out here today, whatever comes up, you go, it's okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's taken care of. Okay, there goes our first one out the back door. Listen for the bell. That's awesome, isn't it? You know, Dolores, today you're sitting there, you may be in pain. You may hurt. You may be sitting there thinking about your electric bill that was due yesterday. You may be thinking about someone that's sick, got a disease, bad word, okay? If we give Christ first place, He says, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. It will be okay. I will supply your needs. I will give you peace. I will give you joy. I will give you understanding. And you're going, okay, Lord, I believe you, but now's enough. Okay? Show me now. He doesn't show us in his time, or in our time, but in His time. He is never early. He was never late. He shows up. Just in time. That's like Justin calls the insurance commercial. Remember that was one? Justin calls, just in peace. Well, Christ shows up just when the right time. He is here. He is here with us now. He is here with us forever. God wants us to enjoy our family. He wants us to enjoy our life. He doesn't want you to sit around and worry and fret and stress. We don't want to be burdened down. We don't want to be Mr. Sad Sacks. I think that was a cartoon. But Sad Sacks, worried, stressed, depressed. And then what happens when that comes about is we lose our health because we worry and we stress so much that our health, we are attacked and we just start giving up and giving up. And pretty soon, depression sets in. And then we go to the doctor for this. And while we're at the doctor for this, and you tell him what's going on here, well, we'll give you a pill for this. And now, the reason that you're experiencing this is because that's the side effect of this pill. So we're going to give you a pill, and you take it 3 times a day to counteract what the first pill's doing. And then the second pill, now that's going to cause you to lose some sleep, so we're going to give you the sleeping pill. Now you take the sleeping pill a half hour before you would normally go to bed at night, and everything will be all right. Well, you know, that's false peace. That's false security. We're medicating a situation when what we should do instead of medicate, we should meditate on the Word of God. And give Him trust. God wants to give you true peace by having you not to worry about anything. Worry is a sin. It means that you're not trusting God. Have you thought about that? That's pretty bold. And you can say, Don, who are you to tell me that? I'm not telling you that. The Scripture's telling you that. To worry is not of God. And it's a sin. Don't be anxious means, in the Greek, do not be troubled. He doesn't give you a command or anything to do that you can't do. If He said you can do it, we can do it. And we may not do it in our own strength, in our own understanding, but through Him, we can do it. He said to the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. Chapter 3. He said, stretch out your hand. And the man couldn't do it. He had a withered up hand. He was crippled. But you know what? He obeyed Christ, and he did it, and he took something that looked impossible, okay? And however you'd want to twist his hand, and however misformed or malformed it was, when Christ said to do something because you can do it, he went, ah, and he got a miracle, and he got a healing. And I'm asking myself, as well as this room full of people, if Christ tells us we can do something because He's providing the way, can't we do it? Can't we do it? It's not our understanding. It's not our strength. The man with the withered hand didn't put it out there because he could, all right? But through Christ, he did, okay? It's not what we can or can't do. It's what Christ will do for us through us, okay? Because the Holy Spirit's in you and you're able to live by faith, we don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be faithful, to trust, to yield to the Lord's will. Have you ever, when you're praying, our Father, according to your will be done. We surrender everything, okay? Our own understanding, our own situation, we surrender it to Him. And we leave it to Him. And according to His way, according to His will, it will be worked out for us the best way possible. Now we may look at it that, well, that wasn't really fair. Okay? If we pray for a friend or a neighbor or a loved one, and they go on to heaven, and we didn't see the results that we wanted to see, we become very selfish. We become very self-dependent. Because that loved one has went on before us. But you know what? According to the Scripture, it's the best day they ever had. It's the best day they've ever had. And as you think back over the holiday seasons and everything that's coming up, and that spirit of depression will hit you, and of loneliness or however it'll hit you, you know what? Guess what? If they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're in heaven today and they're probably dancing. And they're probably having the best time that they've ever known. And we're going to sit back and we're going to allow depression and moodiness or whatever it is that affects us on that memory. And the Scripture tells us, no. They're only going for a short while. This season only lasts a while. Are you going to feel the same way when you're called home? Or are you going to say, thank you, Jesus, I finally made it, and look at everybody that's waiting on me? I don't want to get off on that as the message, okay? But so many times, the situation around us and the situation that we're in, we forget to give it first place. And we feel like we're the only one there. And we feel like we can't take another step. With the Holy Spirit, we have to trust the Lord beyond our understanding. We don't have to worry about what we'll eat. We don't have to worry about what we'll drink. Don't worry about the clothes you wear. Because life is more important, the Scripture tells us. And you're going, well, how can it be life? I'm struggling in this area, and I'm struggling in this area. And I'm really depressed, and whatever the situation attacking us. It says, seek His kingdom first. Seek His righteousness. Again, it sounds easy, but it requires a commitment and a devotion and a desire and a daily walk. And you're going, yeah, but Don, I can stand here today and say, you're absolutely right. Because I've stood and said, but yeah, God. Yep, God. But what, God? Why me? Why do I have to do this? Why does it look better on this side of the fence? Why does this person look like they've never went through anything? Why does it look like every day their day is payday? Why? Well, a lot of times he'll tell you that it looks a lot greener on their side of the fence because that's where their septic tank's at, okay? Okay? And the septic tank's what makes the green grass, all right? They haven't got any more or any less than we do, okay? Because it's camouflaged and they're trying to survive in their own strength and in their own understanding. And they're miserable. And they're even more miserable than we are because they don't know Christ and they don't know what's available to them through His Word. And the sad thing is we know, but the devil sometimes puts the blinders up and we can only see so far. But it's available to us 24/7, 365. And we're not to worry about it. It says, cast all your anxiety upon Him. We got to take God at His Word. We got to take the Scripture at its true value. At everything. Think about it. How much less would you... Is anybody worried about anything today? No? Fantastic. And everybody came into church today and they was the happiest person in the world. They couldn't wait to get here. They were skipping coming down the street. They were so joyed to get into the church building. Okay? And when they walked out and the frost was on the windows and they were already running a little late, guess what? They just praised God. Thank you, Lord. I got to scrape these windows. Thank you, Lord, that I got to go in there and sit in that church for 25 minutes. That guy won't have a clue what he's talking about. It'll be a nightmare. But thank you for the opportunity that I could hear him. Okay? Baloney. Baloney. Okay? I can tell you what. When I got up this morning, I thought, and I'll be honest, why did I get up so early for? I don't have to be there. Well, there ain't going to be nobody there till probably 9:30, 20 minutes till 10. Why do I have to get there so early for? And Liddy goes, Don, the alarm went off. I know, why'd you set it so early? Ain't even daylight yet. Hit the snooze alarm. I'm going back to bed for another 10 minutes. You know what, that 10 minutes? That was the worst 10 minutes of the day because I just got comfortable again and the alarm went off. So we didn't all come here happy-go-lucky and carefree and everything today. And I'm not asking you to tell your secrets or tell what it is. I'm just asking you to give it to the Lord. And He'll solve it. And He'll take care of it. And He'll provide. Maybe not the way we understand, okay? You may be praying for $100,000 miracle, okay? And when you get $25, you're going, but I need $100,000, Lord. And He's going, what'd you do with the $25? Just as an example, okay? You know yourself that you see people that don't have what would you call anything, but they get $20 and they got to go to Walmart, okay? God will supply our needs, okay? But we have to be frugal sometimes and wait for the answers to how we're to go about things. I use money, but it can be anything. He may give you the opportunity to talk to a neighbor, to a loved one, and you go, I don't know why I got to talk to that old witch. I lived beside her for 30 years. She ain't ever been nice to me. Because we represent Christ. And Christ in us and Christ through us, His love and His mercy will come through. And we can witness to that person. But if we turn around and we go, woe is me, and we get the Tigger and Eeyore attitude, woe is me, I think I'm going to be irritable and I'm going to be grumpy today. That reflects. And that lady that you've seen for the last 20 years is the grumpiest old lady next door that could ever be. maybe one of the nicest people you've ever met, when you take the restrictions away and you understand where that lady's at in her situation, or that man, or that whoever, Christ in us. Christ loves us. He says to love one another. That was one of the commandments. Love one another. This is Christmas season. This is a time of peace. You want to see it working? You want to see love and compassion and peace and joy working? And a lot of the people don't even know it. But they're being Christ-like. But they don't know that they are. Or they don't know why. But they're doing it. The Christmas tree or the giving tree or whatever that they've been having on the radio all week?
Christmas Castle.
Christmas Castle. Isn't that amazing? People that ordinarily give a second thought or a first thought to anything are calling and say, I don't know Family 5. And I don't know Family 19. But I understand what it's like at Christmas and at this time of the year to be in lack and to be in need of something. And I don't have much, but I got $5. Or I got $25. Or I got 50 cents. Isn't that the kind of compassion and love that Christ showed for us? Isn't that the peace that He gave us? Isn't that the understanding? And then as you're listening to the radio, they go, well, that finishes up Family 96, and we're on to 97. And you're going, my gosh, when does it end? We already got $58,000. How much more do they think they need? Doesn't matter. Okay? You give, and we give, we enjoy, because Christ in us and Christ through us gives us the peace, gives us the joy, gives us the love and the ability to reach out and be Christ-like not only to the people that you know, but to be Christ-like in your community and in your daily lives. And we don't know the people that we reach, and we don't know the effect we've had on people. But someday I'm going to tell you, when we go home and we're standing on the shores of glory, okay, and we see this little individual come up and they go, ma'am, you don't know me, but what you did back in 2013, I never forgot, and I thank you. What more do we need? What more could we ask for? It's awesome. Jesus said, I will give you the peace. I will give you the joy. I will give you the understanding. Give me first place in your life and in everything you do. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. I know the message is kind of long. I know that if we pray, and I'm not apologizing for the length. I'm just hoping that it causes us to reflect and to be thankful for where we are. Thank God, to my knowledge, there isn't any of us living on the street in a cardboard box. There isn't any of us that are hungry. The Lord's blessed us. Church, this congregation, in this community with a food service that's just phenomenal. We reach lives every day. And people count on it. And to be honest, there's days we don't want to do it. I am so tired of fixing hot dogs. Okay? I'm telling you, if I have to eat one more cheesy potato, I'm going to walk out that door. Okay? How many lives has changed? Okay? Because of that. Yes, we get tired, and sometimes we get a little irritable, okay? But even when Jesus was tired and the multitudes was around, and he said, we got to feed these people, okay? He wasn't ready to go home, okay? And when we're ready to quit, Jesus isn't ready for us to give up. He said, I'll supply your needs. I'll supply your strength. I care for you. Don't be troubled. Trust in me. God wants you to pray about everything. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. And all things in your lives are of concern to God. The big, the small, where to move, who to marry, what job to get, your hobbies, and even your leisure time. The peace that God gives you will guard your minds. The peace that God gives you will strengthen us. And because of the cross, we have access to the throne of God. We actually have access to the throne. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Think of it. A lot of us, and I'm not being judgmental, but a lot of us, if we would just take a minute and reflect on who we are, we're children of God. We're heirs to the throne. Okay? He's not God the untouchable. He's not God that wants to kill you. He's the God that wants to put His arms around you and love you. He's the one that instead of you saying, oh, holy God, holy God, holy God, He wants you to come up and go, hey, Dad, help me. Daddy, I love you. And He'll go, son, daughter, I love you. And the prodigal son story comes all back. And before y'all know it, it's all a big blubbering, tear-fested reunion, and everybody's happy. And I'm asking you today in closing, just surrender. Take a minute. Enjoy the peace. Enjoy the quiet. Enjoy the festivities, of course, but remember the season and keep Christ first place in your life and in every situation. And He will supply all that we need. And it'll be more than we could ever imagine. So, I thank you. I'm closing. I've seen three sighs and an amen back there. Okay, but in all honesty, okay, no humor. Just a fact. We're in the Christmas season. The reason for the season is Christ. When we give Him prayer, we seek Him. It says, seek first the kingdom in my ways. Okay? When we do that, we grow, we mature, and everything that this scripture promises is ours.